What is amazing to me is I'm on a meeting with Jackie Weaver. This is incredible. Who was the bloke who shouted, "Don't hear, don't start, don't start"? Who was that?
You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
She's just kicked him out. Pay some respect to the pure authority. Don't make a flex. Don't do superiority. You're just a speck, and she's got seniority. Jackie Weaver is the authority.
Hello, and welcome to my brand new podcast, Jackie Weaver Has the Authority. Every episode I will be joined by a guest as we have the authority to answer your big unanswered questions, like a couple of agony aunts. I've spent my career in local politics running meetings and dealing with difficult questions, so this shouldn't be too different. And if you enjoy today's episode, there's already another one out with the Reverend Kate Botley, so have a listen to that too if you fancy. Today's guest is a journalist, cycling fiend and, let's face it, broadcasting legend. It's Jeremy Vine. Jeremy Vine, for the one person who is possibly not already knowing you, could you tell me what you do?
Oh,
briefly, because you do a hell of a lot.
Well, now, do you know, but of course, when you ask me that, I go into two states of mind. I think, is that a trick question? Is that a question where I'm supposed to describe my job? But then you say, no, Jeremy, actually, what you really do, I mean, what really goes on in your life? So, yes, I'm a broadcaster. But most of the time, to be honest, I just try to do virtually nothing. I'm a phenomenally lazy person disguised as a workaholic. That's who I am, basically.
You see, I thought you were a cyclist.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that as well. I do cycle, but I've discovered that if you cycle and you say you love to cycle, it's triggering for a lot of people. And I don't know why. I think people who drive cars get very upset because they're sold them on the basis that they can go at 120. And when they're in a major city, they can only go 12 miles an hour. So they get more and more angry and they decide to blame the whole thing on cyclists. So, yes, if you want to be angry today, I'm a cyclist.
Okay. I'm a driver and I just spend quite a lot of time worrying about squashing somebody on a bike. I just think that would really ruin my life.
No, that's a very, very good state of mind and I would encourage that for sure.
And the other thing is, before we start, and it is a bit of a disclaimer, but we have to get it out of the way first. Do you feel you have the authority to answer these questions?
Do you have the authority, Jackie Weaver? No, I don't have the authority. I will certainly do my best, but you are the only one with the authority here, Jackie Weaver.
Okay, well, by the end, we will be able to decide whether or not you had the ability to answer these questions. Now, I think we should go in pretty hard, because I think that we have a public out there who are desperate to know the answers to these questions. If you could time travel, asks Sudun on Twitter, I don't know what age she is, where would you go and why?
Okay, I'm going to give you a slightly serious answer here. I've just been reading a biography of Hitler. And there was a guy who tried to kill him. And it's not the obvious one. It's not the general von Stauffenberg, who we all know about. This is a guy, I can't even remember his name. A brilliant listener will say, I knew who that was. This is a carpenter who decided in about 1938, I don't like this guy. He's not good for our country. And he went to this particular beer hall where he knew Hitler would be speaking. And he spent about 30 days just taking the wall out and building a bomb into it. And then he missed him by 10 minutes. I'd love to go and meet that guy and just adjust his wristwatch a bit, because that would change the course of the 20th century. And I think the fascination, he acted alone. He was caught. He was then put in a concentration camp. And then right at the end of the war, they kept him alive. They fed him. You know, they treated him quite well because they thought he could be used in negotiations when the Allies surrendered, as if they were going to. And right at the end of the war, when Hitler was at the end of everything, he remembered this guy and insisted he should be shot. So he died right at the end of the war. And I'd love to be there at that point in history. As I get older, I get more interested in history. And the funny thing, Jackie, is, and I bet I can sense you're somebody who will know your kings and queens, so I'm a bit embarrassed in confessing this. I didn't pay attention at school in history. So anything I learn about history now is a surprise. You know, Henry VII? I thought there was only Henry VIII. So, so for me, it's an absolute open book. It's a book of wonder. The 20th century, the 19th, the 18th. I've just started reading a book called Kings and Queens. So, all right, I'll go and I'll see that bloke who built the bomb into the wall, and I'll go and find the guy, the first king of the whole of England, who burnt the cakes. Who was that? Albert, Alfred, whatever he was.
It is interesting that you mention Hitler, though, because I got in trouble for that just recently. You know, I'm still learning. I don't know all the keywords to omit, and Hitler is definitely one of them.
Yes, I mean, that's I believe me, before I told that story, I thought I've got to make sure I, you know, there's context for things. And it's a very bad idea to compare anybody to that person in life generally. Yeah.
Well, I said that that would be my ideal dinner guest.
Oh, shit. Right. OK. That's not
and,
a good
and it's
idea.
Like, no, just wait and I'll explain. But they didn't kind of wait for the explanation as to why it wasn't particularly.
Funnily enough, as we're on that period, there's a lovely chap called Richard Danner, and he used to be the head of the British Armed Forces. And I can't remember how it happened, but I interviewed him at Radio 2 and whatever. And he ended up as governor of the Tower of London. And he very kindly, him and his wife Pippa, took my family on a tour of the Tower of London. So nice. And it's the best job in the world, governor of the Tower of London. And he took us into this tower. He said, the public don't go here. But he said, this little room, and we went into this tiny room with bars on the windows, and a loo, he said, this was the room that Churchill was going to put Hitler in if they captured him. And he said, the reason they built the loo is because under the Geneva Convention, that's a provision. You've got to have sanitation where you're being kept prisoner. So Hitler had his own cell and his own loo already. The loo was built by Churchill, effectively. And of course, he never arrived there. So I saw it. I saw that. I mean, it's just astonishing, isn't it? It's amazing.
I love your passion for it, Jeremy. There's two things I don't do.
Right. Only two?
Only two. Geography and history.
Oh, gosh, you're like me. That's the problem I had at school. But do you blame your teachers like I do?
No, I mainly blame the fact it's boring.
Oh, come on. Where is the Sahara? You know, this is an interesting question. You know, what is it that makes a rock green?
Why is it interesting to know where the Sahara is? When am I going to need to know this?
It's true that I think the happiest people are people who haven't travelled. I do believe that in life, choice is dangerous. Having choices is not good. Everyone says you need choice. You don't. If I went to a restaurant today and someone said, look, this very attractive waitress will spend the evening with you if you would like it, that's a choice. That's good. But it's not good for my marriage. My wife would not be impressed. So I think...
She's not going to be impressed that it was even a thought, Jeremy.
No, to be honest, as I told that story, I realised that was even more dangerous than the last one.
And on the subject of choice, I'm absolutely with you there. That's why I shop at Lidl.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not even joking. I mean, I think...
Neither
that,
am I.
You know, when I was a teenager, £8 would buy you a nice meal at McDonald's. £3 at McDonald's. Then I discovered a £6 meal. That was great. It was twice as good. Then a £12 meal. That was twice as good. Then he went to 24, and that was twice as good as the £12 meal. But at £48, it stopped being twice as good. And at £96, it really wasn't worth the money. And I think that's the problem, isn't it? You know, you get to a point where it's not twice as good anymore.
I kind of just find, like, if you go into the really big supermarkets, like the out-of-town ones, and you're faced with literally a wall of washing up powder, how do you make a choice?
Well, never go in hungry. I mean, that's the key thing. Or you buy.
Well, I rarely eat washing powder.
Well, I was going to say...
I see where you're coming from.
It is true, because I went in hungry once and I bought all the washing powder. I just want to say, in case I forget, there's building work going on out here next door. They've been drilling all afternoon. I thought it was going to wreck our talk. And I've realised, Jackie Weaver, you have the authority. Because they've stopped drilling the second you started speaking. I mean, it's extraordinary. I'm always tempted to
Are they peeping in your window?
I want to have a look at... I literally think if I look out the window, I'm just going to see them standing there waiting for you to finish. It's amazing the power you have. What is amazing to me is I'm on a meeting with Jackie Weaver. This is incredible. Who was the bloke who shouted, "Don't hear, don't start"? Don't start. Who is that? Don't say it. Don't.
Oh, yeah. That's Alan's dad.
That was somebody saying, "Don't, you don't go." It was every second of it.
Yeah. Right, we better get through some of these questions or we'll be in trouble. Yes.
Listen, do you want me to be quicker? Sorry.
No, not at all. Now, I don't know if this question was particularly aimed at you or not, Jeremy. You can decide. Cycling Freak 22 asks the following question. I love cycling, but I think lycra on men is an absolute no-no. Do you think wearing lycra should be a criminal offence?
I would have said yes to that, but I'm afraid what's happened with lycra now is it's become an insult. And I'm now quite defensive of lycra. I only have 3 items of lycra, and so I'm not a big lycra person. It is a practical garment in that if you're cycling hard in the morning and you're sweaty, you can get away with it with lycra. But what I don't like, and this is a bit of a serious answer because cycling is a big one for me, as you can tell. I don't like people saying, I don't mind cyclists, but I don't like it when they wear lycra. So, and everyone goes, it's lycra louts. And I'm thinking, have you not noticed the danger caused by cars? You know, so I'm thinking of getting, in answer to Mr. 22 or whatever his name is, I disagree completely. I think it should be a hate crime to attack people for wearing lycra. There we are. I think it should be encouraged. Lycra should be compulsory.
I think there are certain circumstances when lycra is actually almost a sex crime.
Okay, I know what you're saying, and I don't have a pair of those shorts, okay? As Meatloaf saying, I'd do anything for love, but I wouldn't do that.
I know. I'm afraid, having had personal experience of this.
Yeah, at a council meeting, yeah.
Yeah, at a council meeting, we were all sat down, and this person walks in off his bike, and we were there in a pair of low chairs. And I'm afraid that, you know, what was eye level was frightening.
Yeah, I can only apologise. And the chances are he wasn't even a cyclist. He's just somebody who likes to walk around with a bulge.
I mean, I don't kind of shock easily, but really, I had sleepless nights.
No, I'm sorry. On his behalf, I'm sorry.
But I think we could be okay with jackets and things in lycra. Lycra t-shirts, that'd be okay.
Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah. I mean, actually, if you sort of look online, you can get some lovely lycra tops and stuff. I'll get one for you, Jackie, if you want, if you could be tempted with that.
I'm afraid it's going to take more than a lycra top to turn me into Britney Spears.
Come on. Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them. Read the standing
orders. Read them and understand them. Hear me. Appalling behaviour.
Now, you know that, you know, since the pandemic, finance, country, money, a big problem.
Yeah,
okay?
Problem.
So I can totally understand where Cecily is coming from on this.
Go on, Cecily.
How would you successfully rob a bank just asking for a friend?
Right. Well, the obvious way is the way that Woody Allen used in Small Time Crooks, which is where you set up a biscuit shop on the other side of the road, and you use the noise of the biscuit making machines to disguise the tunneling. And he tunneled under the road and into the bank. The problem that happened was that the biscuit shop became incredibly popular. And as a result, he had a lot of police officers inside it queuing for biscuits. But I think I'd like to do, if I had to do a crime, and obviously one doesn't recommend that, I think it would have to involve tunneling of some sort. Okay. Yeah.
The thing that often surprises me with all the kind of, heist kind of films is I just think to myself, if you didn't bother and just saved the money it's going to cost you to do this, wouldn't you be just as wealthy?
But then you wouldn't have the movies. I mean, this is like, my wife does this. We sit in front of the TV and she says, the problem I've got with this film is I've seen Tom Cruise in so many parts. I don't necessarily think he's playing this real character. I said, look, this isn't a real thing. This is an actor, you know, or how could he have solved that when actually surely his watch battery would have run down? And this is not, come on, Rachel. So I think you've got to accept that without the raid, the bank raid, you've got no movie. And that's why there's a bank raid. The classic example of what you're describing, Mission Impossible, I've just been watching. And the first one is this famous scene where Tom Cruise dangles on a cord from the ceiling, and then a drop of his sweat is about, and he has to catch it. Now, you know, you can ask why he didn't bring a handkerchief, but I mean, that kind of spoils it.
So you'd love watching telly in our house then. So my husband and my son have 3 sons.
I love the sudden mention of your husband, who I had no idea. And it's like Columbo's wife, you know, the invisible, I've got no idea. You could describe anybody or anything and I would go with it. So how tantalising is that? Jackie Weaver's husband. Wow.
are sitting there discussing the alien invasion.
Yes.
So we have no problem with them being aliens. Yes. We have no problem with them invading. We have no problem with the equipment, the technology, everything else. But we don't think that they would be that colour.
The colour of what?
Well, whatever. You know, it's just that, you know, we're happy to accept the whole premise, but there'll be some small detail.
I see. No,
that is
you.
Just unacceptable.
So you're watching a movie and you're thinking, now, why on earth, ... Yes, no, I know what you mean. But then, do you know what? If you look at the old films, and just next time you're with Stuart, the newly revealed husband, get out The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, yes.
Right? You can't... And the horror films they were doing in the 30s and 40s, oh my God, it was just ridiculous. This clearly a bloke in some sort of rubber tube swimming around with loud music playing. You know, it's just, you can't believe that anyone would have gone with it at all.
Although, to be honest, Jeremy, you know, a bloke swimming around in a rubber suit with loud music playing, I find quite scary.
Yeah, actually, you're right about
that. I don't
know
what your party is like.
No, you're right. That is scary. Yeah. No, now I think about it, that's probably needed a higher certificate.
Oh, you're going to like this one. Sue Dunn.
Sue.
Another. If you could change one pointless thing in history, what would it be?
Pointless thing.
We've covered
thing.
That, actually.
No, let's do something that wasn't pointless. God. I could have done, I tell you what, the Russian Revolution could have happened without them slaughtering the whole of the royal family. I think that was probably, we could agree on that. Let me be a little bit emotional here. My daughter, who's 17, is discovering the joys of Oscar Wilde. And one of the very sad things is that towards the end of his life, he was imprisoned and it kind of broke him. And I think the pointlessness of that, of pursuing and imprisoning Wilde, who was such a great artist. Come on, guys, let him live his life as an artist and be Oscar Wilde. And he died penniless in Paris, as we know, and famously turned to the wallpaper and said, one of us has to go. So I think I'd change that.
That's very profound. I was just going to go with cassette tapes. Because we could just have waited and we would have had DVDs.
Oh, no. That's appalling. The point about cassette tapes is that they stay where they were left. 20 years later, you put it in the machine and it plays from the very point where you paused it as a teenager. That's incredible. DVDs can't do that. Nothing can do that. That's incredible to me. I've got the cassette tape. Look at this. I've still got cassette tapes. I know this isn't envisioned, but these are. That's it. There they are, Jackie. Ha ha! That's where they're hiding, and I'm not letting you have them because you'll destroy them.
Why is that important to you?
Because parking is very important with media. That's why we have bookmarks. Otherwise, Jackie, you'd start at the beginning of chapter one every time you open the book. So there's a reason we have bookmarks. Cassette tapes were self-bookmarking. An incredible thing.
Interesting.
CDs, DVDs weren't. Streaming a bit more so. Obviously, you start something and it does tend to find the place you were at. But we went through about 10 years where, my wife and I watched The Sopranos, all those series. We had to keep finding, which was it, disc 5? And is it 40 minutes in? It would take us ages to get to the right place. I said to her, we shouldn't have uninvented VHS here because VHS was self-parking. So let's hear no more about the evils of cassette tapes, Jackie Weaver. You've not got the authority on that.
The chairman of the council is the chairman of the council. Chairman of the council is the chairman
of the council. So, JJ from Twitter.
Love this, yeah.
Two questions.
Yes.
What's the best thing to cook to impress a date, and what's the best thing to cook to impress a mother-in-law? I guess I'm wondering why you would cook to impress your mother-in-law.
Oh no, very important. I mean, if you fall out with the mother-in-law, you've had it. In my opinion, in my sort of experience. No, I think with the mother-in-law, you want to go probably coq au vin chicken, because what you can't do is gamble. What you can't do is do something risky and adventurous and mess it up. And also, I think in my experience of my mother-in-law, bless her, no longer with us, but she would want something that was delivered in a way that was accurate, you know, Whereas to impress a date, hang on, let me just think, because it's been a while, I would say you want to try a banana flambé. At the end of the meal, you want to set light to something. That's, and I've got a recipe you can have. If that's what you want to do with Stuart, just let me know.
No, in fact, I can remember my first date with Stuart when I was cooking to impress the date. So imagine the scene, set, candles, you know, lovely evening.
Lovely.
Yeah. And, you know, plated up in the kitchen, put nicely in front of him, etc. We'd been dating for 3 weeks.
Oof. Big moment.
Stuart says, can we put the light on? I like to see what I'm eating.
Oh, no. I don't know if you could even survive that. So what
I kind
was...
of understood where he was coming from.
What? The light, listen, your gaff, your rules. You know, you just say, listen, mate, you don't touch my lights. You don't touch my switches until I tell you. You can. That's what you're going to tell.
You see,
what...
I was very impressed because I know that if it had been the other way around, I mean, whatever had been on that plate
yeah,
but would have gone in me no matter how much. And I disliked it. And I would have smiled and said it was lovely.
Exactly.
But he was honest.
Well, this is risky to say this, but can I put the lights on? I want to see what I'm eating. Is an erotic remark. I'm sorry. I think that's the suggestion, and that's to me the troubling thing. I've got a call book with my mum after this. I have to really clean my mind out, I think.
Always been the same. He went on a business trip to Chennai a few years ago. He's just retired not very long ago. Was extremely anxious about the kind of food that he might be presented with. And he actually went with 4 days worth of cheese and tomato sandwiches.
Wow. I'm amazed he could get through customs with that amount of you know, grub. That's incredible. Also, I mean, I think I went to a restaurant about 2 years ago, which was designed to give you the experience of being blind. And when you go in, the restaurant, I know it's in London, it's kind of an experience people want. When you go in...
Couldn't you just shut your eyes?
You could, but obviously that gets tiring. And so the whole thing is properly, properly velveted out. You've got nothing. Your eyes don't get used to it. And you had the trust involved. Your husband would love this. The trust involved in what am I eating? Oh, my goodness. You know, so it was good. It did. And it was for a charity for people with... a thing called retinitis pigmentosa, actually, fun enough, which is an inherited eye condition. And it did really make me think. I thought, goodness me. So, you know, Stuart, I hope this never happens, but my goodness, I can't imagine if he ever, his sight fails, he'll stop eating, sounds like. So you've got to get him ready for this stuff, Jackie.
Well, it's certainly a narrow field.
Have you managed to push the envelope with him on the food area? Have you managed to say, look, today we are trying shallots?
No.
I think that your husband probably had a very nice upbringing. I think a lot of this is to do with having just a very stable, nice food served by a nice mum, probably.
And I've taken over.
Well, I just think there's a thing of like, I'm very happy with what I've got. That's a lovely state of being in life. I mean, this is again like Columbo's wife here. I don't know who I'm talking about, but I just think that's a sign of somebody's quite happy with the way life is. But of course, probably goes well with you, with your, you know, the belief that the world isn't very interesting beyond wherever, you know, geography doesn't matter. I quite like that.
Permanent contentment. So we've done the mother-in-law. You feel that you have to impress a mother-in-law.
Yeah, I had a lovely mother-in-law, actually.
It doesn't really work the other way around, because when my sons bring their partners, it's kind of like, you know, settle in, we'll get looked after.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't. You wouldn't feel comfortable if their partners started cooking in your kitchen, I don't think, so...
I did try it because, you know, a bit of psychology here. So, you know, one of them, you know, the girlfriend said, can I help? And I thought, well, I don't want to give the impression that, you know, you know. So I said, yeah, Christmas dinner. I hate doing the sprouts. It'd be really helpful if you did the sprouts.
Sure.
We're still waiting.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, no, that's. I hope she's not listening to this.
Me too.
Could I ask you to be respectful to Jackie Weaver, please?
Sorry to interrupt. Just a quick one. I wanted to let you know that if you're enjoying the show, please consider supporting it on Patreon. Patreon allows listeners to contribute to their favourite podcasts to help them keep going, as well as getting lots of extra bits. On my Patreon, you can access ad-free episodes, extended episodes with the juicy bits we couldn't include in this, a shout-out from me, Zoom hangouts, watch podcasts being recorded, and even the Jackie Weaver pub quiz. Which no one has told me about. You can support this show from as little as £3 a month on patreon.com/JackieWeaverHasTheAuthority. That is patreon.com/JackieWeaverHasTheAuthority. 10% of every donation goes to the anti-bullying programme from the Diana Award to help tackle bullying. Thank you, and on with the show. We're nearly there.
Okay.
Oh, this is a nice one. John in Hull.
Yes.
I would know where that was if I did geography. Not an agony aunt question, but if you weren't doing the job you are doing now, what would you be doing?
Probably I'd be a high wire artist, because one of the most inspirational things I've ever seen is that bloke who... and I'm trying to remember his name. He strung a high wire between the Twin Towers and he just went across them. And it was his name was Philip Petit. And I think I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that and I'd like to be able to do Rubik's Cubes. And that would do me. I mean, I don't think you can earn a living doing a Rubik's Cube, but if there was a job in it, I would like to learn how to do it.
Not a lot of call for using a high wire either.
Well, you say that.
I do.
I think we could create demand. I think there could be a way of doing some sort of mobile service. Rather like you did with the council that was in disarray. Put a piece of wire between the two ends, go between it.
Yeah, particularly if it was knotted around the necks at either end, that would be...
And we know who we're talking about.
That would solve the problem completely.
But almost as a distraction. You would say, look, if there's conflict, we come along... We set up the high wire, you'll look at it, and then you go away, everyone's happy.
You see, maybe I just am too shallow, but I don't get it.
Don't get what? What? Just the joy of that?
Yes.
What do you... Let me ask you a question. What do you feel passionate about?
People.
Yeah, so you're not shallow then, because shallow people aren't interested in other people, and you are.
But I'm not interested in climbing mountains, and I don't...
No, that's fine.
And the whole thing about, you know, that I can't remember who gave the answer, but, you know, why did you climb Everest? Because it's there. Well, that works for why did you eat the chocolate cake, but I don't really think it works for why did you climb that mountain.
Yeah, who was it? Was it Edmund Hillary who said that?
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I've never been interested in that business of climbing and walking just for its own sake. I agree. I think getting there, if they said, I climbed Everest because there's a good cinema on top of it.
Yep.
That's fine. But I climbed it because it's there. That I don't get that so much. Yeah. I have just started reading, and I use that advisedly because it's actually on Audible, so I'm listening. What is it called? The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire by Edward Gibbon.
Oh, bit of light reading then.
Well, it's written in the 1700s. It's 1.5 million words long, and it's 120 hours to read it on Audible. Why am I doing it? Because it defeated my dear dad. So he for the whole of my childhood, this massive, massive volume was there, and the bookmark went forwards one page every month, and then he died having not finished it. So I'm thinking, I'm going to try and read it now. And it goes through all. It's an amazing thing. And that's a bit of because it's there, isn't it? That's like the mountain. Why am I doing it? Because it's there and it defeated him and I'm trying to finish it myself. So, yeah, there is, I suppose, that we do rise to a challenge.
I mean, it's like, you know, when you have... I think the only reason to jump out of a plane with a parachute on your back is because the alternative is the plane crashes into the ground with you in it. That's the only reason to jump out of a plane with a parachute. And yet we use that as a means of getting money for charity. Now, rather than do that...
Well, that's a good reason as well.
Why don't you just go and dig old people's gardens?
Well, of course, there's an answer to that, which is that the thrill... See, one of the things I think that should be compulsory is that in old age, people should have to take up dangerous sports. It seems to me that's the time when...
Instead of euthanasia.
Well, that's the time when you know you're on the way out. I mean, when I'm 85.
Yeah, but maybe not this week, Jeremy.
No, but I, for example, these blokes who wear these amazing bat suits. Have you seen those capes wear? They put their arms out. There's some sort of fin between their arms and they jump off mountains. Now, you shouldn't have 25-year-olds doing that. They should all be 85. Because then that's what I'm looking forward to when I'm a bit older.
And just hoping that it's not an oops moment.
Well, if it is, you haven't lost that much, have you? I was doing this to a friend of mine who said, it's funny you mention that, because they said the other few months ago, they had been to the funeral of a great uncle who was in his 80s when he died. And his ambition had always been to go down the Cresta Run, which is a particularly dangerous run. But I think the tradition is you go down on a metal tray. And he'd always been too scared. And then he got to the point where he thought, what's there to be scared of now? So, of course, he went down it. Of course, he completely smashed himself up at the end. He spent 3 months in hospital and died. And at his funeral, they were all laughing. So, and they're saying, this is the best story ever. You know, he did the Cresta Run and died. So that's what I think we should be aiming for.
Pushing old people off the top of mountains.
No, me. It's my choice, not for anyone else. Listen. I think we've got to push the envelope the older we get. That's why I only listen to music I don't like now. I've stopped listening to music I like. This is a bad idea because my brain will just emulsify. I've got to listen to music I don't like. So I very carefully program in artists I really don't like who are new and listen to them a lot because I'm trying to restructure my brain.
See, I'm still stuck in the 70s.
Well, yeah. But so what's your favourite artist then?
Oh, eclectic mix and things like Thin Lizzy, Rolling Stones.
God, you can't get better than Thin Lizzy. I mean, there's a young woman who works in my office at the Channel 5 show, and her name is Rosalie. And I said, please tell me your name is Rosalie because of the Phil Lynott song. And she said, yes, it is, because my dad loves Thin Lizzy. I thought, oh, how wonderful. Yeah, yeah. But you're right, the Stones. You should try. I know you don't like to travel, but you should do whatever you can to see the Stones live just before it's not possible.
Once go to a concert and somebody took me to a Thin Lizzy concert at Nebworth.
Lucky you.
Yeah, except that my understanding of a concert was a room, a stage at the front, we'll be there for an hour and a half and move and come back. It involved a day's travel in a van, arriving in a field.
Yeah, I know that field. Yeah, okay. With a castle behind you. Yeah.
And I'd gone dressed in a pair of extremely tight white trousers.
Sounds great, though.
I don't think I spoke to him ever again. Okay, one more question, Jeremy, and then you're safe to go. What should we go for?
Well, give me three on the trot and I'll do them in one word. You can do quick ones.
Castor on Twitter. We're slowly emerging from a weird online world we've all lived in. But before we wave bye to it, could you provide a definitive ranking on Zooms, Teams, Google Meet or any other platform?
Zooms. I would just say that's probably the Zoom is probably the one. Yeah. It's for whatever reason, it's just taken over.
Jeremy.
Oh, is that it? Okay, fine. That's it. I was ready for a whole load of quick fire.
That was.
Okay, no, sure. So I feel bad because I just did a one word answer. Zoom, comma, definitely, full stop. How's that?
I think there's nothing wrong with being definite.
Succinct.
Jeremy, it's lovely to talk to you, like a real person.
Oh my goodness, it's so nice. You know, you're such an amazing person because I feel like I know you just from having seen you on TV, and that is a precious thing, Jackie Weaver.
And now you almost know my husband as well.
Wow, that's the Columbo's wife thing. If he's a real person, that's amazing.
He really is an amazing person, but he does do some incredibly strange things.
Yeah, we'll turn the lights on so I can see the food. We've got to seriously get a psychologist on that.
And we survived it. It has been a real pleasure. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you you doing this with us.
Not at all. It's a pleasure for me.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Okay. Lots of love.
Wasn't Jeremy great? Thank you so much for listening to this episode. As I mentioned earlier, episode 2 is already out for your listening pleasure. If you did enjoy it, please do read the standing orders and subscribe or follow and leave a nice review. I'm told it helps. If you want to ask a question for a future episode, just tweet at Jackie Weaver Pod or email jackie@giddyauntcomedy.com. And that's it. Thanks for listening and see you soon.
She's kicked him out. Jackie Weaver is the authority. Your time is up. Subscribe and leave a nice review. Follow at Jackie Weaver Pod on Twitter. Support the show on Patreon. We hope you enjoyed the show.